Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch. And the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them. Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. I have Colin Wright, Colin Wrong in about 3 minutes. Sean Payton next hour stops by. You just had news, bad news for the Chargers.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Rashawn Slater, their left tackle, he's awesome. Torn biceps, out for the season, likely. Not good for the Chargers, who are injured. J.C. Jackson, Keenan Allen, Bosa left yesterday's game injured. Like, they can't stay healthy. They are just a snake-bitten franchise.
And we don't know, do they have the right coach?
I'm going to no comment on that on Brandon Staley. I don't know the answer to that. Why was Justin Herbert in the game down 28 with 8 minutes left, throwing passes?
I get starting Justin Herbert because it was his call, and he wants to be with his teammates. Okay. But 4.5, 5 minutes left in the game, what are we doing?
And your left tackle's out, and you're taking hits. Like, that's stupid.
Again, defensive coach doesn't quite understand the urgency or sensibility of the offense. You think McVay would still have Stafford in? Or no, you get him out of the game. It's a blowout. You get your backup in there.
I think some people are firing up their resumes for that Chargers. Now,
I've told you, I've said it with Sean Payton. If I'm Sean Payton, I'm only coming back with a star quarterback. The league is getting more and more offensive. I'm sitting there looking at that L.A. job. He's in L.A. all the time.
Finding me a more coveted NFL job in the last 5 years. Maybe the Packers for Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah. And that's not a knock on Wisconsin. Great
no.
state. But that job is, it's kind of, you have no owner. You have kind of, the front office does what they want to do. You're kind of, as a coach, you don't have a lot of leverage there. I think in a Chargers job, you could have leverage a little bit.
Quarterback
right?
on the rookie deal? Hello.
Yeah. All right. Every week, I tell you when I'm right, when I'm wrong. Plenty of both. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Everybody loved the Chargers this year. Everybody. And I said, I'm taking them for third place. I have serious doubts. I think their coach is on the wrong side of the ball. I don't trust them in big spots. They've got a handful of great players. But you got to win close in that division. Field goals, special teams. And here they are. Left tackles out for the year. Boat race yesterday. The media fell in love with them. I live in L.A. No people in the organization like them. I still don't trust them.
where Colin was wrong.
My first losing week, 2-3 in Blazin' 5. My underdogs always do me well, but I went with a couple of favorites on the Niners and Bucks. They did me wrong, 2-3. I'm still 9-6 on the year.
Where Colin was right?
I spent the offseason basically as the agent for Doug Peterson. I'm like, would somebody hire him? I thought USC should hire him. I called USC and said, would you look at Doug Peterson? And no, not Allen Robinson, Doug Peterson. And the Jacksonville Jaguars are number 2 in the NFL in point differential. The Jacksonville Jaguars lead the AFC South. And if you look at that division, offensively, the Colts are struggling. Offensively, the Titans are struggling. Offensively, the Texans are struggling. It looks like to me, Doug Peterson and the Jags, J-Mac was right, have a real shot to win that division.
Where Colin was wrong.
Allen Robinson has made no impact for the Rams. 7 catches, 3 games, dropped a touchdown at the goal line. And a lot of people were saying he was overpaid when he came and he was washed. But my takeaway was, when they traded for him, he was like, what, 28, 29 years old? He's always been highly productive. And a lot of his issues with the Bears, I didn't blame him. I blamed, Trubisky. But he has made no impact. And they want him to because Van Jefferson's out. OBJ's no longer around. They're dying for him to be a 9-catch-a-game guy. He has made no impact at all with the Rams.
Where Colin was right?
I said to all the critics of Jalen Hurts, he's productive. Stop nitpicking. He's got an incredible work ethic. Right now he has the 5th highest passer rating in the NFL. A lot of times first impressions are powerful, and he got replaced in college by Tua and he came in inaccurate and small, but I'll say this for him. That guy has made giant leaps pre-snap, throwing the deep ball. He looks totally in control of the offense. I'm getting over 300 yards passing. He's making some tight window throws. He comes out on script is excellent. He's excellent off script in the second half. This kid is a gamer.
Where Colin was wrong.
I had Oklahoma as the number 2 team in the country, and after rolling 3 cupcakes, they could not stop Kansas State, a Kansas State team that got beat by Tulane. Kansas State had almost 300 yards rushing. And everybody told me that Brent Venables, he was going to make Oklahoma tougher. Maybe it was just tougher to watch. That was as bad a defensive performance. I know, that soft West Coast guy, Lincoln Riley, left. We finally got one of ours. I don't know. I thought defensively, couldn't make stops in critical situations, couldn't make stops in the red zone. Not good.
Where Colin was right?
Mac Jones, I said, first of all, he's not talented enough to overcome Matt Patricia calling plays. Right now, he has 2 touchdown passes and 5 picks. Last for starting quarterbacks in the league. 6 giveaways total. Last for quarterbacks in the league. His passer rating is in the mid-70s, 76. 31st in the NFL. Quarterbacks need help, especially limited quarterbacks, and now he's hurt. That'll do him no favors as he's trying to get snaps and figure out this offense. If he misses 4, 6, 8 weeks, then where do you go with these Joe Judge, Matt Patricia play callers, which just seem outdated and out of touch?
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, I said about 2 months ago, 3 months ago, the Bears have to trade linebacker Roquan Smith and get a receiver or get an offensive tackle. Well, actually, yesterday he had 16 tackles, a key interception to set up the winning field goal for the Bears. Yes, he is their best player. And yes, I think they need so much help offensively. I mean, Justin Fields is completing, 7, 8 throws a week? I mean, I don't think you can win in the NFL like that. But Roquan Smith is so dominant. If you didn't know this defense, if you didn't know anything about football, you'd be like, who's the guy that's making all the tackles and making all the plays? He has been invaluable for the Bears so far.
Where Colin was wrong.
I have been pro Steve Sarkisian for years, but that was an ugly loss to Texas Tech. Now, Texas Tech has players. It's not a terrible program. But you got to win games like this. You can't go toe-to-toe with Alabama and then lose games like this. And, you know, these close games, you've got better athletes. Your staff is making a lot more than Texas Tech. You should have better coaches. You just can't lose this game. Now, in defense, they're using a backup quarterback. Quinn Ewers comes back here in a couple of weeks. It's not ideal. But you know, when you're watching Texas defensively, they just look sloppy. Too many openings. They almost surrendered 500 yards to Texas Tech. Yeah, I've been a supporter of Sark. That was not a good weekend for me. I'll tell you, it was an amazing Saturday. It was. Albert Breer's around the corner. I want to say this. So all I heard, and I understand fans are emotional. College football fans are more emotional than NFL fans, usually because NFL fans are in a bigger city. They've got an NBA team, an NFL team, a baseball team. You know, and there's always a different season. When you live in like Norman, Oklahoma, or Auburn, Alabama, if your football team's bad, it ruins your year, right? So, like, I get the fanaticism that follows. But maybe the dumbest thing I've ever heard a fan base say is, you know, Lincoln Riley, we're glad he's out of here. I mean, the guy went to three playoffs and lost all three. Yeah, he lost to LSU and, you know, Georgia and Bama. You know, maybe you've heard of them. The LSU team, you know, maybe you've heard. Go look at who he lost to. They won 11 games each year. Lincoln Riley has literally gone to Los Angeles. Come to Los Angeles. The Trojans were 4-8. Their fans had bailed on them. They had no culture, no momentum, and a roster. Half the guys have moved on. He literally has gone to the transfer portal and created a culture, momentum, and chemistry with guys that didn't live in the city 5 months ago, that didn't know where USC was. And they have absolute culture. It's very Rams feeling. They won a game this weekend in which they didn't play particularly well on the road. Caleb Williams had his worst game as a college player, yet he was great in the last drive. So what he's done, can you imagine building a company and like 45% of it are brand new and you're expected to compete at a high level your first day on the job? It's really remarkable. Meanwhile, Oklahoma inherited sold-out crowds, momentum, a winning culture, lots of money, fans piling in. Yes, he had to replace his quarterback. It's Oklahoma. They got NFL players everywhere, even in their down years, and they're the first to lose. So, listen, you don't have to. I understand fans getting upset when a coach leaves. But outside of Alabama, can you imagine the criticism of any college coach being, he only wins 11 games a year and he loses in the playoff? Outside of like Alabama, you kind of are considered great. Maybe Ryan Day, if he loses in the playoffs, I guess maybe he falls at, what, is there two programs in the country? It's you're out of your mind. By the way, 75% of coordinators who are hired fail. And whereas Bob Stoops got a job at 39, people spotted his talent very early. Lincoln Riley got a head job at 33. People spotted his talent very early. Brett Venables didn't get a head job until 50. He wasn't jumping off the page for anybody. 75% of guys, even when they inherit great programs, do not work. I don't know what's going to happen in Oklahoma. They passed the eye test. They got great players everywhere. But be real careful about not being satisfied with 11 wins a year, one of the most creative offenses in the country, and getting to the playoff annually. I mean, outside of maybe Bama, that's great for the other 130 programs in the country.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hi, it's The Herd. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. It's easy, 90 seconds. Use the code HERD, H-E-R-D. That's code HERD for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling, Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd Show. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports. And now newly minted first-round picks like number one overall Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., and more. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of their first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out their most popular brands like Prizm, Select, Donruss, and more, including Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen, such as Draft Night Instance. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd Show. Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So whether you're heading out to explore a new trail or looking to set a personal best on your daily run, start your journey off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Discover the power of advanced nutrition for strength and stamina at ProPlanSport.com. That's ProPlanSport.com.
Start Saturday strong with Big Noon Saturday on Fox. The fourth-ranked Michigan Wolverines put their dominant ground game to the test in a tough road battle against Iowa. It all starts with Big Noon kickoff live from Iowa City at 10 Eastern. And then it's Michigan-Iowa at noon on Fox.
I'll take the under, whatever the number is.
Yeah, the number's 28. No, I don't know what it is.
Well, I watched Michigan. I love their quarterback's talent. He moves, got a nice arm. He holds the ball way too long. You can't do that against Ohio State. I downgrade Michigan. I had him above Ohio State just on that. That quarterback, he's concerned about throwing picks. You got to let it rip. You're not going to get three and a half seconds to throw against the Buckeyes. You're not going to get it.
They didn't look as locked in as they had earlier this year. I think they were looking ahead to this Iowa game.
Yeah, no, this is Iowa's defense is big boy football. Albert Breer, Monday morning quarterback, joining us live. There's a lot of things to talk about. I want to go to last night. So I defended Jimmy G today, and here's my takeaway. Stafford, Brady, and Burrow, for different reasons, didn't practice a lot. Didn't play in the preseason and scuffed it in the first couple weeks. Jimmy G didn't even get snaps, had a shoulder surgery. They hid the playbook, and this was his first start. And Denver in high altitude and that pass rush, that is a rough opening assignment. I'm like, I look at the Niners and I'm like, I think they'll beat the Rams next week. I think they're fine. People are freaking out. What was your takeaway on the Niners last night?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they look disjointed offensively. Defensively, it does look like it's coming together. Yeah. Like they're going to be one of the best defenses in the league. And obviously a lot of talent on that side of the ball. But I mean, you're right, Colin. Like I think that there is a lot of like a reacclimation that needs to happen here offensively for the Niners. Jimmy didn't take part in any of the spring work. And in the summer, he was off on a side field. He's got the shoulder injury he's coming back from. He's got to sort of reestablish himself with Deebo Samuel. Brandon Ayuk spent the entire offseason working out with Trey Lance, you know. So there's a lot of pieces that need to come together there. And I do think the Niners have the talent to make it work. Obviously, losing Trent Williams for maybe a little while is going to be a blow. But they have the talent on offense to make it work, no question about it. But Jimmy had a really weird offseason. And coming in there in the Seattle game is a little bit different than having a team spend a week game planning for you like Denver had the opportunity to do. So I would expect there probably will be some bumps the next couple of weeks. And, you know, you hope if you're the Niners that by Halloween or so, you're fine with Jimmy in there.
I want to throw this at you with Russell Wilson. So this offense, the Hackett LaFleur thing, with Aaron Rodgers, in his first year with it, Aaron's, he completed 62% of his throws, passer rating like 94, 95. Second year, different. Last year, you know, it was different. So now Russell brings his act to a new staff, and we don't know if Hackett's the guy or not. And it's like, last night, I feel like there's been this deference. Like, Russell's like, want to be a good soldier, I'll listen to the coach.
Yeah.
And Hackett is a nice guy, but he's not going to bulldoze Russell. And I felt like last night, at the end of that game, Russell said, okay, enough. I'm just going to take control of the offense and do me. That's what it felt like to me, that they were feeling each other out, trying to be nice guys. And then Russell finally said, I'm just going to do what I do.
I think he's sort of had a lot of that from the start, though, Colin. Like, if you look at the beginning of the season, right, that game in Seattle on Monday night, you know, I've talked to a number of different coaches for opposing teams that looked at that tape and said, it looks like the coaches were waiting for Russell to do something in the last minute of that game when they didn't call a timeout. And so I think they've given Russell a fair amount of autonomy out there. And that was part of the deal in bringing Russell over. You know, Russell didn't just want a new contract or a new team. He wanted something that was going to be built around him. And that was sort of his complaint all for all those years in Seattle. They played him as a Seahawk as sort of an option quarterback in a run-heavy offense. And he felt like, hey, I can play like a Tom Brady. I can play like a Peyton Manning. And that was where a lot of the friction between Russell and the Seahawks was that the Seahawks didn't really believe he could be that guy. They gave him a shot when Brian Schottenheimer was the OC, but they didn't really believe that he could be that guy. Now, you know, the Broncos are giving him the chance to be that guy. And I think it's going to take some time to work it out. And I mean, I don't know for sure that he's going to make it in the playing that sort of way, but you see it in the way that they're deploying him out there where he's in the shotgun a lot. He's got autonomy out there on the field. And some of those things aren't working quite yet. And I think you saw that at the end of the game last night. You know, you mentioned kind of his autonomy out there and his ability to do things on the fly. I noticed at the end of that game, he's pulling the ripcord a little bit more and using his legs to make plays, where I feel like the first couple of weeks of the season, he was trying really, really hard to be that sort of field general back there where he stood back there, read the field, and got rid of the ball rather than running with it.
Yeah. So, you know, Mike McDaniel, a lot of times it's not just coaching, it's personality. And and I think Tua reminds me a little of Dak. He's unbelievable at the podium. You can throw anything at him. He just handles it. He's got kind of a reservoir emotionally to handle chaos. Brian Flores, the owner, Deshaun rumors. I mean, just all the, Ryan Fitzpatrick. And he's just, he's got that sort of conviction about him. He trusts himself. And then McDaniel comes in, who's a brainiac, but he's kind of quirky and funny and witty. And I would love to know, you talked about this in your column, like it seems like the personality match works too. Like they really like being around each other.
There was a note moment that a couple Dolphins people pointed out to me in the summer where Tua was up at the podium and everybody in the organization noticed this. And it didn't get a lot of attention nationally, but someone asked Tua, what has changed here? And he looked at the reporter, paused, and said, everything. And I think that's sort of, I think illustrates where they are right now. I think Tua felt like the old staff, for better or worse, didn't trust him. And it really didn't help that they kept flip-flopping play callers, that they've kept changing offensive staff. And I think from the beginning, Tua felt like Brian Flores didn't really want him there. And that's, I think, maybe the biggest change is that Mike McDaniel has been brought in to fix Tua Tagovailoa and to help the organization come to a final answer on Tua Tagovailoa. And Mike McDaniel made the conscious decision that the best way to do that is to connect with the guy emotionally, is to get the guy to trust him. And, you know, I think Mike believes that that offense can really work for Tua if Tua trusts that it's going to work for him. And so that answer at the podium where he said, everything has changed, I think shows that trust has been established. And you see a guy who's going out there and not just trusting himself, you know, when he's talking about things like you're talking about there, Colin, he's trusting himself out there on the field and he's trusting the people out there around him to do their jobs as well. And that's such a huge part of it. He's trusting the offense to work for him. He's trusting Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle to make plays for him. And I think you see a guy who's now playing a little bit more like he did at Alabama,
yeah,
where he can be more of the point guard than having to do everything. On the field.
By the way, this receiving core looks a lot like Alabama. Guys after the catch,
yeah, it
really does. So Lamar,
and it's not a mistake either.
Yeah, exactly. Design into his strengths, lean into him. So Lamar Jackson would be my MVP today. You know, I've said this for years. I had this argument, not an argument, but a debate with a friend. I said, if you sign him to a contract for 4 years, and after 4 years he got hurt and started eroding, but for 4 years, I knew he didn't make the Super Bowl. He only won the division once. He made the playoffs 3 times. That's reasonable. And he only won 2 playoff games. Of course I would sign him. What's opposed to what? You know, being, you know, I mean, to driving, being Seattle or Arizona, and you're, you know, Band-Aid and Bondoing it and trying to figure it out. Like, I look at this thing with him and I'm like, he wins 77% of his games in a good division. I could just stop there, right? Like, it seems to me he's like adding an element to his game every year. That's what my eyes tell me. What do you hear?
And I mean, I'll say this, Colin. There was a play in the Jets game in the opener where he no-looked a safety. He pushed a safety over with his eyes, and he no-looked the ball to Devin Duvernay for a touchdown.
Yes.
And no one picked up on it, right? Like, but it happened. And if Mahomes does that, or Matthew Stafford does that, we're going crazy over it. And you're starting to see Lamar Jackson manipulate defenses from the pocket. And a lot of times, that's, you know, the last step for a quarterback as a passer and making the move to the elite level. And I'm not saying he's as consistent a guy when it comes to that sort of stuff as a Patrick Mahomes or as a Josh Allen even is right now. But when you look at what he can bring in the running game, and then you add the fact that he's operating that way from the pocket and that he can manipulate defenses from the pocket, I see a guy who's in command here. And you know, John Harbaugh said it after the game yesterday. He's doing all the things that a quarterback needs to do from the pocket. Does it look a little bit different than we're used to? Yes. Is there going to be some risk involved in the way he plays? Yes, because there's really no history of a team playing a quarterback the way the Ravens have played Lamar Jackson over his first 4 years in the league. But you can't argue with the results. And you can't argue with who the guy has been for your organization as a leader. And you can't argue with the work he's done because he's improved year over year. And to me, like, that no-look pass against the Jets to Devin Duvernay in the opener was a great example of it. Like, we all sort of look at Lamar one way, and if you sort of look in different directions at him and look at some of the little things he's doing, you can see some real growth there.
So sometimes in this league, you lose and you feel pretty good about it. Like, if I'm San Francisco this morning, I'm like, listen, Jimmy G just needs snaps. Last week was the first week he got all the snaps. I think Buffalo comes out and thinks, we dominated the game and lost. It's in the heat. Now we come back home. Our defense was never on the field. We'll be healthier. And then there's wins where you're like, I don't know. So Green Bay now can't score in the second half. And I believe, and Trent Dilfer said it earlier, because he doesn't trust the young receivers once it's off the script. Once you're off scripted plays, he doesn't trust them. Yesterday, Evans, Godwin, Donovan Smith, Julio Jones, Brady's going through a marriage crisis. Interior offensive line's a mess. And we almost went to overtime. Their last 8 drives, 7 punts. Yeah. They had 92. But it was interesting, Albert, because if you watched his body language after the first half fumble by Green Bay, he did it again. Aaron went into this, I can't trust my teammates. And their offense ended for the next hour and a half. I looked at that Green Bay win and I thought, that's concerning. That game shouldn't have come down to a play, right?
Yeah, so I talked to Matt LaFleur when he got off the plane in Green Bay last night, and we talked a bunch about how there are things that they're going through right now that are sort of intentional and that are going to cause some short-term pain. And, you know, what he likes about where they are right now is they're learning how to win games a different way. Like, they need the defense to step up in that spot last night on the two-point conversion.
Yep.
And look, like, Tom Brady put the Superman cape on at the end of that game and drove the team down the field going to guys like Russell Gage and winds up getting them in the end zone after changing like a dozen things on that final play to squeeze the ball in there. But on a two-point play, one of their captains, Devondre Campbell, gets his hand in there, makes the play to make a stop. And I think that they learn that they can win a different way. And I think a big part of this, Colin, and this is an important nuance when it comes to how the Packers have played their seasons the last couple of years. They're using the first month of the season or so as an extended preseason. And look what they're doing. They're getting their rookie receivers, Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson, before he got hurt, snaps, right? Like, just for better or worse, those guys are going to be out there and those guys are going to learn. They gave Elkton Jenkins and David Bakhtiari extra time to get back healthy. This is all aimed at being a better team in November and December. And if you remember, the same thing happened last year. That weird opener in Jacksonville, it was a home game for New Orleans because they had had the hurricane back in Louisiana. New Orleans came out and blew them out with Jameis, and everybody was pushing the panic button then. Packers were doing the same thing. They're trying to figure out where they can get a spot, get into a spot where they're going to be at their best in November and December. And I really think Matt LaFleur and that staff believe that by giving Watson and Doubs the snaps early in the season, by giving Jenkins and Bakhtiari a chance to get back fully healthy, they're going to be better offensively when we get to November and December. And in the meantime, they get to learn to win different ways. It was with the running game against the Chicago. Yesterday, it was against the defense against Tampa. And so I think that they feel like they've got a team that's able to win more different ways than maybe it has been in the past. And they really have confidence because Aaron Rodgers is still there, that the offense will come along in time.
Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback. Great stuff as always, man. Appreciate your legwork. Thanks.
Awesome. Thanks, Colin.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. Here's Jason McIntyre with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
All right, Colin, we're going to start with a little Major League Baseball. Albert Pujols made history on Friday night, hit two bombs in the Cardinals' win against the Dodgers. Now hit 700 home runs in his career. He is only the fourth player, along with Bonds, Hank Aaron, and Babe Ruth, to hit that mark in Major League Baseball history.
A little renaissance.
We love a little announcer love here. Let's hear the 700th home run from Albert Pujols.
Let's hear it.
A swing, and there it goes! Left field, way back! That's home run number 700! Pujols hits a three-run homer, and he hit 699 and 700 at Dodger Stadium.
Every Cardinal is out of the dugout congratulating Albert Pujols. The Dodgers are on the top step, clapping for their former teammate and friend who they honored before the game today. Everybody in the ballpark is standing. What a great moment, a Hollywood moment here in L.A.
Very nice. Dodger fans are very thoughtful.
Quick Albert Pujols story. So yeah. When I was a young reporter at this newspaper in New Jersey, I had to cover a Mets-Cardinals game. And I thought you could just go up to players as they're walking around. Obviously, you can't do that. So I go, hey, Albert. Hey, Jason, quick question. He just walks by me like I said nothing. Totally ignores me like I don't exist. Congratulations.
Bonds did that to me when I was 23.
Don't you love those moments as a young guy?
Great teaching
moment. You think
moment.
You matter and the athletes want to talk to you. They don't care. Next up, Buffalo Bills, Colin. Suffered their first loss of the season yesterday. Could not get a spike off so they could attempt the game-winning field goal late in that game. Just a dramatic game. Buffalo should have never been in it at the end, but they should have pulled away earlier. I don't know, Colin.
What did you make of the headset throw?
That was great. I put it on Instagram. A lot of clicks on that one. Here's Ken Dorsey, ticked off. Look at that anger. He's just spiking stuff in the press box. You got to love it.
Here's the thing. There's a lot of stuff that happens that fans don't see. And now with cameras, you see the emotion that in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, you didn't see. This is not the first time that's happened. It's the first time you've seen it happen.
Right.
Think about it now. I mean, like, even assistant coaches, you have no privacy. They have, like, these, what they call lipstick cams. Inside, that used to be, like, you couldn't go in there.
Sacred, yeah.
Oh, that was totally sacred ground. I mean, what's next? The training room?
This is entertainment, is it not? You know?
If you think that's the first time that's ever happened, you're out of your mind. That's what happens. I have literally in my life, about four or five times in my life, have sat next to, in a suite, next to a coaching room. You can hear them swearing through the walls.
They're saying bad words?
I'm not here to defend it or not. I'm just saying that is not... the first time that's happened.
Yeah, certainly. Maybe Dorsey's upset. I have this in my notes. The Bills drove into the red zone three times in the second half.
Yes.
And got a total of 3 points.
Colin. Yes, that's it.
They had some struggles, and I don't think it was all the Miami defense. This Buffalo run situation, there's something there. You keep bringing it up. They can't run the football.
Josh Allen, of the 90 plays, 70 of them, of the 90, he has to save the team. You're playing, by the way, in like, it's Miami in September. It's a sauna. I thought by the end of the game, some of the situational stuff, it's like putting in golf. You're worn down. It's Sunday, 4 days in the heat. Your putting goes. You didn't forget how to putt. You're exhausted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Your focus diminishes. I thought Josh Allen just looked like he was shot. I thought he was just tired.
Drained, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, week three wraps up tonight. NFC East divisional battle. Cowboys and the Giants. It looks like the Cowboys have said Michael Gallup will play his first game, returning off injury. Dallas has won 9 of the last 10 matchups against the G-men. But no Dak Prescott. And the Giants are the worst 2-0 team in the league. Sorry, just had to get that dig in there.
Who do you like tonight?
Well, Giants are favored by 1.5 points at home. We've talked ad nauseum. You bet Daniel Jones on the road, right? Tennessee week one. You don't bet him at home.
Now,
they did get lucky against Carolina last week.
I have a feeling Dallas is going to win this game.
I'm on Dallas in the under. The under keeps dropping because, you know, it's Cooper Rush and Daniel Jones. I'm more interested in Micah Parsons because you're seeing a little Lawrence Taylor out of him. You line him up on the edge, and he's terrifying. Left tackles. Evan Neal, the young guy, going up against Micah Parsons. Parsons could wreck this game. He's fun to watch.
Yep. No, I think I like Dallas in the points.
I mean, again, we're
Giants
betting,
are weird.
They're not good.
They're just, even the Eli years, they're often better away from home than home.
Yeah.
The first Super Bowl, they went Plaxico and Green Bay. They went on the road, and then eventually they went to Phoenix and beat Brady. It was like they were better away from Giants Stadium.
It's crazy to think that the Giants, if they win this, are going to be 3-0. Going against the 2-1 Bears next week in Cooper Rush versus Justin Fields. And at some point, we got to talk about Justin Fields completing like 7 passes a game.
No, but we got to be patient with him.
How are they winning?
Well, the defense and their
luck. Weather week one against him.
They all count as W's. Yeah. J-Mac with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd. Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plaxico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plaxico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hi, it's The Herd. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered every step of the way with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out. As the NBA postseason winds down, it's fantastic. Super easy to get started with DraftKings. If you're a first-timer, really easy. Try betting on something like a team to win. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook's app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple, really. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. It's easy, 90 seconds. Use the code HERD, H-E-R-D. That's code HERD for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd Show. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports. And now newly minted first-round picks like number one overall Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., and more. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of their first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out their most popular brands like Prism, Select, Donruss, and more, including Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen, such as Draft Night Instants. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd Show. Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So whether you're heading out to explore a new trail or looking to set a personal best on your daily run, start your journey off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Discover the power of advanced nutrition for strength and stamina at ProPlanSport.com. That's ProPlanSport.com.
I know it can sound kind of corny, but culture matters a lot. Because if you have a business, any kind of business, small, medium, large, you're going to have bad days, bad months. Annually, you're going to have pandemics. And so do you have a culture that can withstand it, where everybody's getting better, everybody, not everybody's always happy. But it takes you, cultures, a lot of stuff works when the going gets good for everybody. But you go into a recession, you have a pandemic. That's when your culture, a good culture, can withstand it. And a prime example is the Rams. Their culture is great. Their coach is great and their culture is great. Right now, they could easily be 0-3 in a mess. They brought over Allen Robinson. It's not working. OBJ, not available. He's gone, right? Van Jefferson, on the IR, out for months. Basically one trustable receiver, Cooper Kupp. Cam Akers, the running back, has a fumble issue, fumbled again at the goal line, and reportedly doesn't like to practice. Their O-line's a mess. Their top 10 center, out. Great left tackle, retired. Both guards hurt, one in preseason. And they're 2-1. And they got a game against the Niners next weekend. What you're seeing with the Rams is all about culture and coaching. They're a bit of a mess. Offensively, they're just kind of figuring it out as they go. And that's where culture comes. Every business, oh boy. You know, market's up 10,000. Market's up this. Everybody in the good times is rolling. You really see well-run operations when you got a multitude of issues, and the Rams have them all over. O-line, wide receiver, running back. Up against the cap, it'd be great if you can solve them. They can't. And here was Sean McVay after yesterday's win over Arizona, where Arizona had 8 more first downs. Arizona was 50% on third down. Arizona dominated time of possession. They have a culture problem in Arizona. They may have a coaching problem. The Rams won it on culture yesterday. Here's Sean McVay.
overall, a lot of really it was a strange game, you know, but we'll take the win. There is no style points in this league, but there are ways of playing more complete games, and that's what we're hunting up. There's still so much football to be played. You know, I'm glad and very, very grateful, like I talked to you guys about last week, that we were able to come away with the win. And I'm also encouraged that we can continue to really have a lot of learning opportunities.
So I'm watching Philadelphia, and it's very funny. Years ago, I'm not going to mention the kid's name, but there was a quarterback in he was a really talented high school quarterback in Southern California about 7-8 years ago. Big attitude. Dad had an attitude. Kid had an attitude. And I knew a coach in college football, and he said, the kid's got tons of talent, but dad's ruined him. Kid won't make it. Got all the answers, and he's 17 years old, and the kid's done nothing. And it's too bad, right? And so, like, so much of working in the NFL, you see it with Lamar Jackson, you see it with Josh Allen, you see it with Jalen Hurts, is just attitude. So in Oklahoma, Baker was going to be a star, and Kyler was going to be a star. And Jalen Hurts came in after being benched in Alabama. He went to Oklahoma, and everybody kind of looked at him like, yeah, he's a college quarterback. He's not big enough. He's not very accurate. He's a college quarterback. He got benched at Alabama. And he's the star. Kyler, Moody, doesn't want to run. Baker, good luck with that. And Jalen Hurts is the rock star. The prospect, the kid that's basically, as they call it, working in the dark, head down. Look at Jalen Hurts. Look at what he was when he came into this league. Look at his trajectory. That is work. Year one, 52% completion percentage to 61 to 67. Passing yards, 220 to 305. Passer rating is insane. You know who that looks like 3 years as a starter? You know who that looks just like? Josh Allen. And I'd be the first to tell you, I said when Josh Allen came out of college, I remember saying, huge bust potential. Not accurate, out of control. I watched him play Oregon and Iowa, and I'm like, he's a hot mess. He's got a huge arm, but good God, he's out of control. Josh Allen got good coaching, offensive coaching. Brian Daboll worked his tail off, worked in the dark, stuff you didn't see. You wake up and look at Josh Allen. Josh Allen, but he's 6'6 and jumping over people, but he went to a small school. Go look at Josh Allen's story. It's all about people doubted him. People told him he couldn't do it. It's the exact same story for Jalen Hurts. The exact same story. Their trajectory is the exact same. Like massive, massive moves. With Josh Allen and Hurts, you think that first big leap, you're like, okay, that's it. And then they make another huge. You can't tell me that's not about chip on the shoulder, hard work. You can't tell me that's not a huge component to this stuff. So I think Jalen Hurts is, I think he's a great story. And I think first impressions are incredibly powerful, and Nick Sirianni looked like a goofball at the podium, and I wrote him off. I mean, I was like, this guy's terrified. How's he going to talk in front of 55 alpha males? He's terrible. And I wrote off Jalen Hurts. I'm like, he's too small. I watched him in college. He's not accurate. He and Josh Allen are, the trajectory is insane. It's straight up.
How often do we find these quarterbacks who don't go top five end up becoming the best quarterback in the draft? Lamar Jackson falls to the end of the first round. Russell Wilson, what, third round? Dak Prescott, mid-round pick. It's like these top five guys, either the pressure gets to them or they go to bad organizations maybe who don't know how to handle quarterbacks.
Here's the other thing. When you're a top five or six quarterback, the marketing machine, you start getting ads. And, you know, your Baker Mayfield and Progressive says, here's $4 or $5 million for ads. And you're like, I was a walk-on. I'm going to take that loot. And all of a sudden you take the spots and the commercials and you set yourself up to fail because now you've made yourself a rock star. So I think it's hard. It's very nobody was offering Josh Allen commercials his first 2.5 years. Nobody cared outside of Buffalo. Nobody was offering Jalen Hurts any of that stuff. And I've said this before. I don't think it's a coincidence that why are both New York teams a mess and why are the Packers generally well-run and the Colts well-run and Kansas City well-run and New Orleans Saints well-run? In these smaller markets, there's fewer distractions. I mean, you play in L.A., you play in Chicago, you play in New York, you play in Miami. It's a lot of distractions. One of the great cultures in American sports is the Miami Heat. I mean, to be that's one of the hardest working intense organizations in the league. Those guys are 25 years old, and there's aqua water outside. It is easy to convince a kid in Cleveland, work more.
Well, not Johnny Manziel, but well, listen, most kids.
Yeah. I remember when I worked at ESPN, I always said one of the strengths of the organization, I told the former CEO, George Bodenheimer, said the great advantage here, there's nothing to do beyond work. Connecticut's boring. I said, those guys over at Fox, off at 4 o'clock to have a margarita. It's like it's on the beach. I'm like, there are advantages when you don't have a ton of choices. And I look at these Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen, no commercials, nobody's lining up. They just had to go, as they say, work in the dark, get stuff done, head down, prove the critics wrong. Both got some really nice offensive coaching. That's obviously vital. Good stories. M-Drive supplements, $5 if you've never tried them. How? Text HERD to 55,000. HERD, H-E-R-D, to 55000. $5. Feel good. M-Drive. Check it out. Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Dakovis is your stop before attending your next concert. All Dakovis boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Dakovis has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Dakovis store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. I love it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Dakovis.com. Stores are great, but it's TECOVAS.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.